here at a critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
I'm Brandi Crawford Urriel.
We are the TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. And this is our last episode of season two. This is our year-end episode. Brandi, how are you feeling about the year in TV?
I'm feeling great about the year in TV, but I'm feeling sad that it's our last episode.
I know.
I mean, for now, obviously.
For now. We'll be back. We had a wonderful season, though.
Yeah, it was really, really great. Thank you guys so much for listening. As I was making this list, I realized that there was a lot of TV this year, but I feel like there was a lot that I missed, but I'm glad for what I did see. I felt like I saw a lot, but then when I was talking to you and you were like, oh my God, I was like, I mean, my list was straight up 12 things.
Okay. My list was a little bit deeper than that. So we'll get into it. So this episode, we're doing our best and favorite shows of 2022. We're throwing out any genre rules. We don't have to abide by, the drama, comedy, unscripted of it all. It can be anything because it is specific to this year. And this year, different from last year, we're bringing on a guest to join us in this conversation. You know him from earlier this season. He came on. It was such a fun episode. We knew that if we're going to do a best and favorite list of 2022, we had to have him back. Please welcome back to the show, Christian Bonda. Christian, how's it going, man?
Hey, thanks for having me back. I've just been talking about TV with no one who's really interested. I often feel like I'm just shouting at a wall at my friends.
Right.
And and they're like, dude, go away. So thank you for giving me this space. And nice
dude,
to hang
absolutely.
With you.
We were kind of chatting on Instagram before this about, at least for me, Brandi, I kind of envy you. You have a more honed in list. Cause for me, it really wasn't that simple. I track everything I watch all year long on a day-to-day basis. So I went through and all the seasons that I've watched and I counted through. I feel a little bit ashamed, but also a little bit proud at the same time. I watched 70 seasons of television this year.
What?
Oh, man. You and I got to go out and for some drinks and find a date because I watched so many TV shows too, man.
Yeah.
That's too many seasons of TV. We got to get outside a little bit more. I'm the same way.
We do. It's funny. I feel like I just don't sleep much. So I still can have a social life. Don't feel bad for me, please. I'm not a hermit. Listeners. But no, I think it just speaks to the incredible amount of TV that we have. And it made it really, really tough to narrow down this list. I mean, it's going to be really interesting. Christian, how was it for you putting together your kind of top 10 here?
When you gave me the prompt a couple days ago, it came together pretty easily.
Okay.
All the shit I enjoyed. It was a dearth. I don't know how many. I think I had 20 shows that I really honed in on, but I found it fun. I wasn't as stressed as I thought it'd be. It was I had a great time thinking about this.
Nice. That's what we love to hear. We want this to be a fun experience.
For sure.
Yes, absolutely. So the way it's going to work, it's a little bit looser than our normal guidelines for the criteria. Basically, we're all going to do three best of the year, three favorite shows of the year, and then four almost shows. And we'll talk about those first. So basically, effectively, we each have a top 10 with the 3, 3, and 4. And we'll talk about the almost shows first. But if something comes up, if I have an almost show that happens to be on either of your best or favorites, we'll hold that and talk about it when we get to the criteria slot. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
Let's dive right in. Christian, you're the guest of honor here. Tell us, what's your first almost show from 2022?
This might be in y'all's best or favorites. First show I have is The Bear.
Ooh. Let's put a pin in that.
I figured.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We're in good company, though. Brandi, what do you got in your almost?
I have A League of Their Own.
Ooh, not on my list anywhere, but a super fun show.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I knew I would love it because I love Abby Jacobson.
Yeah.
But it was just a really easy and fun show to watch.
It was.
Very low stakes.
And very heartwarming.
I watched six episodes or so. It's kind of like my snack in the cupboard show. I don't binge or run through it, but when I need a little blanket or something, I'll throw an episode on. So I'm a bit halfway through and I just love hanging out with them. They feel like friends in a really special and rare way. And they're doing the IP justice, even with Abby's reimagining, in the way that I find to be really sweet. And I love the introduction of, the segregation of it all. And I'd love seeing, the Black woman or even the Black men just operate in that space, in that world, and how fucked up it was.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's not something that they touched on in the movie, if I remember correctly.
Not at all.
Yeah, there was like a scene where like a black woman threw a ball and everyone was like, oh my gosh, so impressive. And then that
and
was
we
it.
We just never saw her again.
Yeah, that was it.
Grand opening, grand closing.
Right.
But I love that fucking show. And I can't wait to finish it up.
Yeah, great show. I think you're right. Like, I loved how they played with some of the iconic things from the movie, but in unexpected ways, like the no crying in baseball and stay off the high ones and things like that was really fun. And then also the Darcy Carden performance, I thought absolutely rocked.
Darcy's
so good.
All right, so my first almost show, I won't spend too much time on it because, Brandy, we dug into it recently on our criteria updates, but my first almost show is Stranger Things Season 4. Great season, the best I've done in a while. Like I mentioned in our last episode, it really brought me back into the show and kind of laid out a lot of connective tissue that I thought was missing and now really geared us up for, I hope, a really successful Season 5. But top marks for Stranger Things on its comeback in Season 4.
Agreed. It was really like I came back to the show in Season 4. I was like kind of done with it. And then I'm back in now.
I think the Eddie Munson character rehydrated what was kind of like a drier franchise after Season 3. His performance, he was so lovable and so funny and electric on screen. And I was delightfully surprised by Season 4.
And then I think the villain, the Vecna of it all and the lore in that backstory, I thought really was really effective.
Yeah. And then just really bringing it together. It was just like, oh, okay, so you guys have a plan for this. Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I feel like you know how you're going to land this plane and I'm impressed.
Yeah. All right, Christian, what's next on your almost list?
Okay. Reservation Dogs.
Also on my almost list.
That's a story you never get to see.
Mm-hmm.
You never get to see stories about, you know, Native living in America anyway.
Yeah.
And when it is portrayed, it's just negative and heartbreaking. And there is some of that in here. But they're fucking kids who like adventures just like everybody else. And I loved that, you know, the story, they're dealing with a very adult thing in the passing of one of their very much loved ones. And It was really brave of Tycho to be like, all right, let's see how these badass kids handle and roll with that. Because usually that's a story that's, you know, sanctioned for adulthood on TV or whenever I see it. I never see kids who are trying to figure themselves out also try to grapple with that grief and striking in hilarious ways. And the performances top to bottom are fucking amazing.
Incredible.
It's just a treasure of a show. It's like, whenever I find certain shows like these, we'll go up our list, but you know, it's like a little miracle of a show, in my opinion.
Truly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I can't believe it's here, you know?
I love it. Yeah. And I think, shout out Sterling Harjo, the co-creator with Taika as well, who is, you know, of that community. And I think you're right about the teen death and, you know, slight spoiler, but not hugely because it's unveiled. Losing a friend to suicide is something that plagues a younger generation. So why should it be just an adult story? It should be more accessible for a slightly younger generation of viewers. And I think, to your point, was done super effectively, but also like, it almost gives me a little bit of like, I May Destroy You vibes. Like, this is heavy content, but done in such a light, fun, surprising manner. It's like, how did they do that? It's like a magic trick.
Ooh, I wouldn't put light onto I May Destroy You. That shit did destroy me.
But there were light moments in there. Like
there were moments.
It was a fun show. Sure. You know.
I'd say that like the sub aesthetic to the show is that of a sitcom. Like you're gonna laugh at least once in every scene.
Sure.
For sure. Yeah. So I agree with you there. It inspired me to know that like, hey, maybe one day I could tell a story about a bunch of, you know, African immigrants that all happen to move to New England for some reason and are trying to figure out their life here. Like just those pocket stories that I just thought would live in my head. Like to see that on screen is like pretty inspiring for a creator or a creative type. So
yeah,
I enjoyed it. Unfortunately didn't make my best of phase, but I love that shit.
So. Still in the top 10. Brandy, you're next. Let's come back around to you. What's your next almost show?
My next almost show is Dead to Me Season 3.
Ooh.
Christina Applegate and Freaks and Geeks.
Linda Cardellini.
What's her? Linda Cardellini.
Cardellini? Cardinelli?
Cardellini.
Cardellini.
Yeah. This is the final season, right?
It's the final season. I'm still not done with it because I know it's the final season. And like, I have a hard time when I know it's the end of something. I can't like,
I agree. And I will talk about that, but I agree. I'm the same yeah. fucking way. Yeah.
It's like, I can't, it's like, I know that it's gonna, and the episodes are so easy to burn through. They're like 30 minutes long and they end on a cliffhanger. So you want to go to the next episode. So it's mm-hmm. really hard to not binge it. But I think I'm up to episode 5 and I think there's 10 and I'm really sad for it to be over, but I just think it's just a great show. You know, I love a female friendship show.
That's right. Yep. Yep.
And their friendship, like Christina Applegate is like, she's such a difficult personality. And I feel like they do such a great job, like humanizing her and like not, because it would be really easy to like really show her just in shades of black and white. She's a bitch. This is who she is. But it's like, no, like she really loves Linda Cardellini. Like they're really good friends and like she really cares about her. And this season you really see it even more. And also knowing that she was going through, like, you know, she has MS and she was going through that this season. It just really makes her performance all the more kind of inspiring.
In almost like a Chadwick Boseman type way, like to know that they were fighting through a lot of shit to, you know, finish the product they were on, no matter what it took from them.
Yeah.
I have a question for you just real quick. It seems like you're highlighting a lot of the performances of that show, but is like the story good or is like the story just like a secondary thing?
I love the story. Okay. I love like, and this, we'll get into this also when I talk about kind of like my favorite shows of the year. I love plot.
Yeah, of course.
I love plot. I love story that moves. I love ending on a cliffhanger and being like, oh my God. Like I love almost like a soap opera vibe, mm-hmm. which is what Dead to Me has. It's just a really fun show. And I'm really sad that I'm sad that I only have like a finite number of episodes left. So that's why it didn't make it into my best or favorite, just because like I haven't finished it yet. But I really, really, really enjoy it.
Awesome. I'll have to check out the pilot for real, for real.
Yeah. I watched the first season and you're making me want to pick it back up and keep going.
It's so easy, you guys. The episodes are like 27 minutes and like they roll.
Nice. Cool.
Great.
Another easy watch that I think might have similar vibes. Definitely female friendship is a core tenet of it. I just recently binged and it jumped into my top 10. Have you guys been on Bad Sisters yet on Apple?
No,
but that is in my mist, but want to watch.
Brandy, you will absolutely love it.
I feel like it's right up my alley.
Absolutely love it.
Sharon Hogan, right? The star?
Yeah, Sharon. Yeah, I think it's Horgan. Sharon Horgan.
Horgan? Okay, cool.
Who was in Catastrophe, if you know that show.
Lovely show.
Yeah. And she created Bad Sisters. And basically, it's like about a group of sisters in Ireland. There's 5 of them. One of them is married to the biggest asshole on the planet. And this dude pulls a performance because you want to kick him in the nuts. You want to punch him in the face. Yeah. Every scene he's in, he absolutely sucks. And it's basically the sisters trying to plot his demise. And I won't get any further into it about what that means or what it entails.
It's giving Goodbye Earl vibe.
It's giving Goodbye Earl. It's giving a little bit Kevin Can Fuck Himself, but I think better. And that's a show I got into last year and kind of fell off on. But Bad Sisters, I ran through it in like 3 nights. There's 10 episodes.
I definitely want to check it out.
I'm pumped. As soon as I find an Apple TV login, I'm definitely going to watch the shit out of that.
Yeah. Christian, what do you got next?
I have We Own This City on HBO.
Oh, that was my number 11. Just missed.
Yeah, just missed.
I fucking loved it.
Is that the one that was done by The Wire guys?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes, it was. Breathtaking away. I think John Bernthal should get all the trophies that you can forge out of whatever medals need to be forged.
He had a year.
He did have a year. Yeah, that man's been working.
Yes.
So David, not David Russell. Who's the creator of The Wire?
David Simon.
David Simon.
David Simon, not David Russell. David Simon, apparently the Academy doesn't fuck with him. That's why The Wire never got anything.
Right. Yeah. And this one didn't get anything either. I was shocked. I'm like, you're going to get Pam and Tommy noms and not We Own the City? Like, what the fuck? What are
please.
We doing?
Oh my God, please. Yeah. John Bernthal's incredible as Wayne Jenkins, this corrupt Baltimore police officer. It's a star-studded cast. It's funny that you have Marlo from The Wire playing like a good cop in this show. I love that inversion as well.
Yeah, that was cool.
I was so dialed in. It's very detail-oriented. It's sad. It's hilarious. And it illuminated how much power these men have in a newer way, believe it or not. Like,
yeah,
I think paperwork was their also their gun. you know, in a way that I didn't like the procedure of, you know, using this language here on this form could, you know, protect you in this way. Like, I loved all of that. And it ended thunderously. The bad guys got caught, but you were just left with this sinking feeling that nothing was going to change. And of course, nothing ever changes. But I love the performances. I yearned for season two, but, you know, we're living in season two. So,
yeah, no, it is kind of like the perfect coda, perfect epilogue to The Wire, and leaves you very much with that, like, man, this shit is cyclical and that sucks type of feeling. But it's worth the journey and it's worth the experience.
It's a tough watch for trigger warning for the black folks. Mm. It's tough. I always find that stuff tough to watch, but Bernthal, honestly, he pulled me in. Mm-hmm. He pulled me in. He was magnetizing. So We Own This City. If you have the time, if you love The Wire, get after it.
Brandy, what else is on? How many more do you have on your almost?
Two more.
Two more? Okay, what do you got?
Love is Blind season 3.
Nice. Not on my list. need that reality representation, though.
I want to hear it. Go ahead.
Basically, like, Love is Blind does it again. Every single time they come out the gate, and I'm like, this can't work again. And they're like, guess what? It does, and it even better. Even better. Like, how it keeps improving upon itself when, like, everyone should know by now, like, what the deal is. But I think that they actually shot seasons 2 and 3 concurrently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Love is Blind, for those who don't know, is a dating social experiment show. You've got 20 guys, 20 girls, and they all are dating in what they call the pods. There's like a wall between them. They can just hear each other's voices. And, like, you know, it's like, is love blind, right? So the only way to get out of the pods is to propose. To somebody that you've been talking to for, I was like, how long? I was watching with my husband. I was like, how long do you think they're in there for? Is this like a couple of weeks? No, guys, 10 days. Nope. 10 days. And then you propose and then you get to see them. There have been some real love matches made out of this show. Like, there's people that are still together.
I have a love-hate relationship with Love is Blind working in unscripted development because it's now the bar. I'm like, that's a great format. But now you can't pitch a reality dating show unless it reaches this bonkers Love is Blind bar. And it's pretty high. It's tough to do. It's tough to clear.
It's very high.
Conceptually fucking simple yet masterful.
Yeah.
I talked to, so me and my sister watched the first season. And by the end, I was like, Gene, this isn't a dating show. It's a horror thriller. Like, this is this is disturbing stuff. Like, put this right next to the Saw movies in terms of how it made me feel.
Wow.
Should I jump to the third season or go to the second?
Jump to the third
season.
That's
what it sounds like.
The second season is great, but the third season, I'm telling you, like, didn't make the list. It would have been a favorite, but the stuff that's in my favorite, I need them in my favorite.
Wow.
Gotcha. Amazing.
Love is Blind, still hitting. My last almost show, hard left turn here, although there are some absurd elements in this, and it might be on either of your lists a little bit higher, but Atlanta season 4 was in my almost list.
Yeah, it's on my criteria later.
Christian, it's on your criteria later, so we'll hold until we get to it on Christian's. Does anybody else have any almost left? Christian?
I have one. It was tough. This last almost spot was actually the hardest for me out of all of them. And I went with Hacks.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Is Hacks in either of your Just missed.
11 through 15 for me. Like, just missed.
Yeah, it was definitely, I really, really enjoyed it, though.
Gene Smart is like a figure skater out there on the screen, just hitting quadruple axels every other line, showing all dimensions of Deborah Vance within a single sentence. Hannah Einbinder is fucking incredible. And I loved, speaking of female friendship, I loved the portrayal of their relationship of mentee to mentor to, you know, surrogate mother and surrogate daughter. There was like romantic, like, do they kind of have a thing for each other type
right?
vibe
kind
as well?
Of, right? Yeah,
there's very much queer undertones. And I love how it was like very much iron sharpens iron in a way. And I loved how much they actually cared for each other. Like, how through everything, they were just like, they were soulmates in a way that they just never expected. And yeah, again, I got to give it up for Gene Smart. That was the one show that it's hard to, the appointment television is tough now. Like, even for, you know, ones that are in my top TV shows, I'd watch them the day after. But something about Hacks made me stop whatever I was doing, go home and watch it every Sunday, which is a rarity.
It's another one that's just so easy to watch.
Yeah. So happy you brought it up, because I, again, was agonizing of this could make it. This could be in the top 10, and tough choices, man. But I'm super glad.
And we're not even in the mud yet.
Not even in it yet. Brandy, round us out with the final almost show, and then we'll move on to our criterias.
Yeah. So my final almost show, it was actually between two shows. And I think that I feel like looking at this list now, I'm going to have to go. I'll tell you what it was between. It was between Inside Amy Schumer, the reboot, and Rap Shit.
Ooh.
And I think I'm going to go with Rap Shit, just because it just felt very new and fresh, like kind of how they presented it. And I love the two main girls. I feel like we don't see those girls. We don't see those girls on TV, like not being, you know, like stereotypically, you know, Black. I don't know. Like they were so funny. They were so talented. Like every song,
the songs were good.
Singing.
Yeah.
They were great.
Like they're
seduce
great.
Seduce and scheme.
I might have put that on the Spotify. I was like, hold on, wait a minute. Issa might have done something with this one. Let me jam.
Also, I think about that scene where it's like the confrontation breakup over Instagram Live. All the time.
Fucking brutal.
What an again, like a thrill ride in the middle of this like jewel box of a show.
The way they use Instagram.
A great job using Instagram. Using like just how social media is a part of the fabric of Gen Z's life.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was also like super foreign to me. Like my biggest fear is that I'm going to accidentally go live.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then
also, but so many buttons. Like, how do you end up there? There's so many steps. I'm always like, my G, you have to log on. You have to scroll this way.
But they use it as it was like a weapon, you know, IG Live as a tool. It was fucking wild.
Yeah, off that, Instagram is another character on the show, which they did a damn good job with that. So, yes, absolutely. Love it.
All right, I think that brings us to the end of our almost shows. So, Christian, let's get into our best and faves, our top six of the year. What's your first best show?
Whew. All right. I'll start with like my third best.
Yeah, kind of ramp up.
Yeah. My third best is The White Lotus.
Oh, I have The White Lotus in my best as well.
I have White Lotus in my favorite.
Oh, okay. I like that.
It's
Hell
a trifecta.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Hell yeah. Are we allowed to talk about it now?
Let's do it. Yeah, we all got it. Let's do it.
Speaking of doing it again, Mike White.
Jesus,
man.
Holy shit.
Yeah. What an acerbic, specific, just like minutia, like gently chiseled, lovely tapestry the man made with all sorts of commentary on the transactional nature of sex, of honestly, toxic male feminism with Albie. I fucking hate Albie.
Fucking beta.
Yeah, I'm such a beta. Anyway,
beta cuck.
Yeah, that man is a cuck. He's like, oh, you're gonna go watch the? Do you mind if I go watch you guys fuck the British guy? Like, I bet if they invited him to just watch, he'd be in there.
He would have been into it. Yeah.
Yeah. I loved Aubrey Plaza in it. Oh, mm-hmm. And fun fact: I went to high school with Megan Fahey.
She's get from, out of town.
Yeah, she's from my town. We used to sing together. She was a couple years older. Lovely person. It's really cool to see her just like become a star, even though she's been working her ass off. So there's some hometown investment there for sure, and she blew me away.
She stole the season
of the year. Yeah,
Daphne was my favorite.
Yeah, for sure.
Daphne was my favorite character. I feel like she, of all of the characters, she is the one who knew herself.
Yeah.
She like, you know, she was like, this is what my life is. This is how I'm living it. And I am not ashamed or making excuses. It is what it is.
And was written with real complexity and like right up to the end, couldn't quite put your finger on her or exactly, you know, what she was doing, how she was moving. Like, I still maintain that when she shows the picture of her kids to Harper, that it's the trainer's kid, but that's hotly debated. Who knows?
100% the trainer's kid.
I think something happened when we were in Noto. I'm sure whatever happened wasn't a big deal. And if anything ever did happen, just do what you have to do to make yourself feel better about it. I have this trainer in the city, Lawrence. He's so handsome. He has blonde hair and nice, like, big blue eyes. He's really funny, too. I spend more time with him than Cameron sometimes. because he's so busy at work. Such a cutie. Want to see a pic?
This is just a picture of your kids.
Is it? Whoopsie. I'll find it later. Anyway, the point is, maybe you should get a trainer.
Another thing is, like, I love the homoerotic subtext between programmer homie and Theo James.
Oh, Ethan
yeah.
Cameron.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Do they want to kill each other or do they want to fuck each other? Like, yeah. What is going on here?
Yeah.
Right. I loved that whole dynamic. And the way he was, like, able to set up all these, like, really intricate atmospheres within, you know, just episodes. It's pretty masterful stuff. And we know the man is Mr. Ned Schneebly. We know that he did Enlightened. We know that he was on Survivor. And just to know that he had all these stories living in his head and that he was able to just fucking anthology-wise do it again was amazing. The last thing I'll say is just like how I think thematically the shattering of fantasies.
Yes.
And every dynamic
oh my God.
Across,
yes. Yes.
across
yes.
the board was so masterfully crafted and executed. I mean, the fantasy of having a vacation with your friend and, like, you know, maybe we'll do a couples outing shattered because of all their fraught dynamics. The fantasy of the three generations of men that, you know, bask in the Sicilian heritage they have only to, right. you know, find oh, that yeah. they're comically rejected at that woman's house. It's incredible. The fantasy of Jennifer Coolidge going to this palazzo and trying to live this, you know, lavish, you know, Italian actress type.
Peppa Pig
type shit.
Yeah.
And only for her whole shit to be shattered as well. I loved all of that. And yeah, I can't say enough good things about. I didn't know he'd be able to pull it off again. I have to be honest. Three episodes in, I was like, all right, where are you leading us?
Right.
Nailed it.
Also, like the inversion of fantasy, right? Like Portia had the fantasy of finding some European guy and then gets it and is like, oh, fuck, I didn't want this, you know? And then, or even like the Ethan character, it's like he's fantasizing about an affair that his wife may or may not have had and he's trapped in that fantasy.
Yeah.
And then ends up living out one that he didn't even have, which is potentially an affair with Daphne. You know what I mean? Like the mix.
I think they
there. I think they
I think they
absolutely
too.
Fucked. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What else would they do? Where were just they going? Like,
look
come
at
on.
The stalactites. Yeah.
Come look at my pictures of my kids.
Yeah. But yeah, I loved it.
Brandy, what's your first best?
My first best is The Rehearsal.
Yeah.
Ooh. I did not have it on my list because
no.
Well, listen, I had it in my best when we did our fall catch up. But the more I sat with it, the more uncomfortable I am. And it's like, I'm never going to rewatch it. So it couldn't make my list just because of how it made me feel.
It was just one of the most unique things I've ever seen. And
it's in my favorites.
I couldn't stop thinking about it.
It's in your favorites.
Okay.
Yes.
Your favorite.
Nice.
I still don't know what it is.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
It's like you come and especially and it, he did such a great job of setting up that first episode. So it's like, OK, I get it. Like, this is a wild premise, but I get it. So every episode we're going to be doing this. And the fact that he just like keeps subverting it, like and then and you get to this, like you get to that one episode where it's like he was getting actors to be him and then to all like it was just. It was like one of those things where like you look into a mirror with a mirror and there's all
and there's
the reflections.
Yeah, that's a perfect description. You're right.
Then how real it felt at the end with the poor kid. Like when he realized that like, oh, like this is real to these kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a question for you both. How much were we watching Nathan Fielder's actual human emotion and reaction and how much was he acting through it? Because I have no idea and I'm curious what your takes are.
I think he was acting about 75% of it.
That's kind of the vibe I got too.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He definitely was a man on a mission in a way. But the moments with the kid in the finale. Let me dial back real quick.
Yeah.
So speaking of shows that you just don't want to end and you just save the last piece of pasta, the last crumb of the cookie. And so you can go back to it whenever you want. So it's like still living. There's no end bookmark. That was me with The Rehearsal. I knew I wanted to talk about it today, so I watched the finale earlier today. So all that shit is just brand new in my mind, and the size of sadness and just like all that came with this kid not being able to let go of
oh my
Nathan
God.
And still calling him daddy and all the ethical ramifications, like a butterfly effect in his mind that he had to run through while talking to this woman that clearly loves her son, but did not think this shit all the way through. Because what are you fucking doing, dude? The man is the 3-year-old kid without a father. Like, of course, he's going to mentally latch on to this kid. Right. So that was wild. Nathan scares me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Someone put it perfectly on Twitter. It's like, he has all the powers of the devil, but chooses to make television.
That's perfectly said. Yeah.
It really is perfectly said.
I don't know if I can handle another season, but I would watch the shit out of it. I love the rehearsal.
Yeah. No, I made it to my best because I was just like, it was just so well done.
No one could make that, and no one will ever make that.
It's singular. Stands alone. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Sure. All right, I'll go next. And this one was touched on, Christian, in your Almost shows. My second best show is The Bear.
That's one of my best shows, too.
Fuck yes.
Yeah, right. In my Almost.
Mm-hmm. In your Almost, yeah. I fucking love The Bear. I have never worked in the restaurant industry, but my mom did for a long time. So I grew up around and in restaurant kitchens. I remember, like, doing my homework in the corner, watching, like, the tattooed guys with hairnets make meatballs. And watching the show kind of brought me right back. I thought it was just incredibly well done, incredibly well acted. What put it as the best, it was episode 7, the 18-minute one-shot runner. I haven't seen anything like it all year.
The review,
that's right. Mm-hmm. That episode was almost perfect in the fact that they did it without cutting. That's, you know, if you're not a TV industry person, a runner or a one-shot, like, no camera cuts. No edits at all for 18 straight minutes. I'd never seen anything like it. It was such a perfect jewel box of a show. It dropped all at once with very little fanfare. And then I also just loved the reaction. Like, it just blew up with no promotion, really, no marketing. It was a true word of mouth show that I just love to see. That doesn't happen super often anymore. So yeah, for all those reasons, I just think it hit so many of those best kind of boxes for me.
Ayo Edebiri.
Yeah, I believe the Sydney character.
Yeah.
Sydney, run that girl her Emmy.
Yeah, it's so funny because I just, you know, I'm in the comedy. I don't know if I'm in the scene, but I'm just in that world.
You're in the community. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I doubt she'd remember me, but like every now and then I'd just like see her do her thing. And then like we'd end up at like an apartment party and I'd say hi in the kitchen or whatever. And just to know that she had this inside of her the whole time just makes me like look around and be like, who else am I missing? Like, what the fuck?
Exactly.
You are a monster, dog. It just flowed out of her in like a really organic way, in a way that just makes me want to see her in everything ever. I think she outdueled Jeremy Allen White like in every scene, and she doesn't even seem like she meant to.
Right.
Like, she was just that fucking good. I loved it. I watched every episode twice. And with all that being said, it's a little too high in people's rankings.
Wow. Coming after us, huh? Coming after the host.
No, hey. The thing is, you're not alone. And maybe this is, I try not to be a contrarian. Like, I think that's corny. Maybe a little bit of that seeping in here where it's like universally beloved in a really
right.
It's like y'all never liked, like, the Zeitgeist didn't like shit like this beforehand. Like, what is it about now that everyone is latching on to this particular show? I find that to be like a fascinating other conversation.
Yeah. The thing that connected for me, and you mentioned this with Ayo's performance about you said you felt like it just kind of flowed out of her.
Yeah.
That's how I felt the show felt to me. Like, it felt like it. Like Christopher Storr, who created it, he was like, a lot of what he's done in is like his direct comedy specials. So like hasn't really been like a showrunner, I don't think, before this.
Okay.
And if he has worked on shows, it hasn't been very many. So it just felt like this man had this in his head and his heart, and it just flowed out of him. And I felt that. And I think that's what connected for me. It just felt like he knew exactly what he wanted to be. And by stroke of luck, chance, execution, timing, all of the things, that's exactly what it was. And it just really resonated for me.
Speaking of little miracles, that show is a little miracle. That's like, it's like the example of what I was talking about.
For me, and you know, I said that like I love plot, and there was not a lot of plot in The Bear. But I also love smaller stories,
sure.
Like just like smaller family stories, which is what I felt like this was. I really liked it because I like spending time there. Mm-hmm. But I also was like very stressed out to be there.
Yes, for sure.
It was a stressful show. But like, I still wanted to know like what was, I was invested in Carmi.
I agree.
Like, kind of wanting to know like where he was going to end up and like what was going on, and like getting the reveal of like kind of what that relationship was like between him and his brother, and then like how his brother died.
Shout out John Bernthal.
Yeah,
we can't move on.
He's having a great year.
The cameo of the fucking year. Oh my God.
But like, I'm really excited. I know some people were like, oh, like, I don't like that next season is going to be they're changing the restaurant. But like,
I love that.
I'm excited about where next season is going to go.
Like, hell yeah.
What a weird critique.
I was like, wow. Oh,
you don't
like
want
that?
Them to change the show?
Grow and change?
Or grow the, yeah. Like, come on, yo.
It's like, this is what we've been building up to. Like, this makes perfect sense.
Yeah, shout that out, that show, for sure.
I only have one more best left because we've hit on a couple. Brandy, yeah, you have a best?
Yeah, and I bet it's the same as yours.
Probably.
Severance.
I have Severance in my favorites, okay, but it's on my list. Severance is in my favorites.
Severance was the best for me. I just thought it was really, really well done. It like kind of checked all the boxes to be best. I love the performances. I love the conceit.
Incredible premise.
Even though like I'm still a little bit confused by the conceit. I'm not going to lie. Because I'm just like, because I guess it's because it's like, why would you do that? And then it's also like, I just have so many questions about like that your severed self.
Right.
I have a lot of questions, but I really, really enjoyed the show. Another big question I have is like, why is Patricia Arquette so mean?
She has a great performance. I think though, Brandy, like all those questions that you have are why it was so effective for me. And why it's one of my favorite shows. It's in my favorite because it's one of the shows I thought about the most. It stuck with me the most. It could have been a best. It could, honestly, I could flop it with The Bear and not be sad at all. Like those two are pretty interchangeable for me. Could go in either one. Best finale I've seen all year. That finale was absolutely thrilling. A fucking roller coaster.
Yes. That was why I put it. That was why I went into my best. Because like that finale, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. And yeah, if you haven't seen the Severance, the quick premise is it's in Brandy. I understand, like you talked about Black Mirror a lot, and that's you know on your core almost list. It's like a Black Mirror premise. What if you could sever your consciousness so when you go to work, you're basically a totally new person, and your work self does not know or remember or experience or interact with any part of your home self.
So I'll never leave here.
You'll leave at 5. Well, actually, they stagger our exit, so 5:15. But it won't feel like it, not to this version of you, anyway.
Do you have a family?
You'll never know.
And I have no choice.
Well, every time you find yourself here, it's because you chose to come back.
It kind of dives into all those ethical, moral quandaries. And then on top of that, there's kind of like this mystery box, you know, not Lost-esque, but kind
I'd
of.
I'd say Lost-esque. I mean, I definitely get I got
you got, a, you got a bunch of people in a windowless space playing with numbers on screen. So, you know, kind of Lost-esque,
for sure.
In that way. Yeah, it's like, you know, what is this company? What are they doing? What is it for? And then the reveals in the finale, I absolutely don't want to say a ton about it to not even get close to spoiling anything because it's an absolute wild ride in.
Y'all didn't mention the man, the myth, the legend, Ben Stiller.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Directed by Ben Stiller.
Yeah. This was his baby. I don't know if either of you watched Escape at Dannemora.
I did. I loved it.
Yeah. That's a great fucking series. That was the first time I was like, oh, Ben Stiller might have to, like, he just belongs behind the camera now. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's just way better at this. And he's a great comedic actor. He did, I don't know if he ever did anything dramatic that I recall, but like, I didn't know he had this in him. So it's cool.
And too, like, you know, the people that he got in this, I mean, John Turturro's in this. Christopher Walken is in this. Adam Scott's the lead. Like you mentioned, Patricia Arquette also has a great role. Incredible cast top to bottom. So, so good.
I love Severance. I wish it made the list. It just kind of didn't. I don't know.
It's close.
There was a lot of TV this year.
A lot of TV this year.
Speaking of which, I have two left.
What's left on your best?
It's my two best. Okay. Should I just go both of them or did you?
Well, I got one left as well. So you can do one. Cool.
So second best, Better Call Saul.
That's my last best.
Yeah.
Okay.
There it is. Yeah.
Better Call Saul. I don't even know what to say, man. I just didn't know. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. I mean, they did it.
I didn't know you could do that. It. And they did the fucking thing. I was fortunate enough to go to this past Emmys. Me and my homie were in the same row. And we both watched Better Call Saul hard. We're both fans. And when Rhea Seehorn was up, we were just like sphincters clenched. Like, I think we stood up and peered at the stage. And then to hear her not get called, was like the most incensed I've been in a while. And to have it happen like right before my eyes was just like the saddest, most angry I've ever been. I just stared at my friend, Kat, and I was like, and she's like, I know, dude. I was like, fuck this shit.
Wait, because they split the season in half, will she be eligible for next year's Emmys?
I believe so. I think I read that. I think I think I heard that on The Watch, and I think I read it somewhere else. So I'm pretty sure.
Well, I trust Andy and Chris with my unborn child. So
I think because they split it, that second half is up for next year's Emmy. So
it better she better get her flowers because no one's doing what she's doing.
The real reason I didn't tell you was because I knew what you'd do.
What would I do?
You'd blame yourself. You'd fear for me. You'd want us to run and hide until you were sure I was safe. You would pull the plug on the scam and then... And then, we'd break up. And I didn't want that. Because I was having too much fun.
For Bob's heart to give out on him in the middle of the show.
Yeah.
For him to come back and just be like 96 Jordan for no fucking reason is incredible. I love the dueling timelines. I love how they wrapped up, you know, plot A and then went to B. And like, I love seeing all our people again, even as camp as the cameos were from Aaron and Brian. I loved seeing them again. Like,
right.
But so camp. They just clearly were just older.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is funny. I'm glad they're back.
But what I loved about those scenes, too, is like they weren't cosmetic. It wasn't just for the fuck of it. You learned more about Saul.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Like, because again, they know what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like, they know how to do this. And I also talk about the dueling timelines. And we mentioned this on our previous episode as well. I was debating whether to supplant Breaking Bad and my core criteria with Better Call Saul. Didn't quite get there. But I love the fact that Saul started as a prequel and then kind of also became like a quasi sequel by the end of it.
Of course.
In the Gene Takovic timeline. Like, how do you even do that? I've never heard of such a thing. And it was just seamless. All right, let's check in quick. I have two more shows on my criteria. What does everybody else have?
Okay.
I have two more shows on mine too. Two favorites.
I have two favorites as well.
I have three favorites and one best, but I feel like my best might fall into at least Dan's, my last one.
Okay, so let's round out your best. Yeah,
you know what it is. All right, should I say it? Just because the buildup, it's fucking Andor.
It's Andor, baby. That's in my favorites.
Is that your favorite?
It's in my favorites.
It's not on my list at all. So talk about it, guys. Talk about it.
And that's part of the frustration with this show is I do not know how to get people to watch it that weren't going to watch it anyway.
Right.
And I'm just like, guys, you don't have to be a Star Wars fan.
It's just, do you like spy thrillers?
Do you
want to watch the best spy thriller you've ever seen? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you love stories about the people versus, you know, the machine? Do you love, you know, little anecdotes about nameless faces that you never got to, you know, learn about throughout the whole saga? Tony Gilroy did something I didn't know Star Wars could do. I didn't know that world had this in them. I didn't know Disney would ever okay something like this. Such a deep, gritty, wonderfully told espionage-laden thriller with beautiful emotional storylines and really, like, acutely thought out characters that are all doing a dance and circles around each other. And some of those circles converge. Others are spinning on their own over here. And they all, in their own different way, want their own thing. And it's, you know, I feel like it's to be validated and succeed. And that's just like, there's no binary there. There's no darker light there. You empathize with each and every character, even the most evil ones. And I just didn't know that I'd log into Disney Plus and just be blown away like, by a Star Wars show in this way. And I've watched them all. I've watched all of Clone Wars. I've watched Rebels.
Yeah.
I've watched all the movies. Like, this is right behind Empire Strikes Back for me as far as a Star Wars property. And I never thought I'd be able to say anything like that.
Right? Wow. It's right up there for me as well. It's like Empire, this.
Would you put Rogue One or would you put Mando? I'd personally put the last four episodes of Clone Wars, the animated series, like in my third, fourth slot.
Dude, I'd put Rebels up there. I think Rebels fucking rocks. Last Jedi I liked a lot. I think that's in the mix for me.
Rise of Skywalker has to be up there.
I just saw red for a second.
Yeah, no, I saw you. I'm just about to square up with my Zoom box.
Yeah, Andor was incredible. And I agree. Like, I try and get people into it. And I've done a pretty effective job. It's like, you don't need to know or watch anything Star Wars. It's a thriller. And what's also cool is it's very digestible, because formulaically, Tony Gilroy did this really cool thing where it's a 12-episode season, but it kind of unfolds almost kind of like some of the Clone Wars or Rebels storylines would in, like, 3-episode bundles. So episode 1, 2, 3 are kind of like a complete story. And then 4, 5, 6 are a complete story. 7 was kind of like a middle connector. And then 8, 9, 10, probably this season at its height, was the 8, 9, 10, the One Way Out. The
One Way Out. I watched One Way Out 4 times.
Oh my God.
It's a singular episode of this show. I watched it 4 times, Brandy. I know. Look, how do we convince you to watch this? Is there any way?
No, that's what I was saying. I was like, so as a person who, like, literally didn't even see any of the Star Wars, I saw the prequels in high school because that's what we did, is we went to the movies.
Sure.
I didn't actually see the first 3 Star Wars movies until I was pregnant or either on maternity leave, and they were like on TNT during Christmas. So I was like, I may as well just watch these, because my only reference for Star Wars was Spaceballs.
Oh, that's tough.
And man, I didn't know.
Everything's out of whack here, but I understand. I get it.
And like, I didn't know that Spaceballs was a parody. I just thought it was a movie. Okay,
that's amazing. Damn, I don't know if I can help you. The damage's already been done.
But I'm not opposed. I feel like I've heard a lot of good things about Andor, and people saying exactly what you guys are saying, which is that, like, you don't have to be so, like, immersed in the Star Wars world.
I don't think you have to know anything at all.
You don't need
about
to know
Stars.
A damn thing. And also, too, I'll say this too, because I think it also gets, oh, it's a Disney Plus show. Haven't those sucked lately? And by logic, yes,
yeah,
they absolutely have. Like, Obi-Wan, I thought was not very good.
Book of Boba Fett.
Book of Boba Fett was terrible, except for the Mandalorian episodes that were misplaced in the wrong show.
Yeah.
And then all the Marvel stuff this year was largely not great. So if you're like, oh, another show on Disney Plus, that's probably going to be bad. That's another thing to kind of take out of the equation.
I didn't expect to go into 2022 putting a Disney Plus show at the top of my favorites list. And here I am. And I feel like a crazy person, quite frankly. I feel like I'm going insane. Thank you for the validation.
Yeah, this is like the anti-bear, where when you see it on people's top lists, you're like, you know what, this is not overhyped, this is not overrated, this deserves where it is, this deserves its spot, you know.
I didn't mean to be unfair to the bear, by the way. But yeah, okay.
All right, well, I'll check out one episode. That's Dan knows that I will always watch at least one episode of something. No.
Can we convince you to watch the first 3?
That's the thing.
Maybe. I'm off for the next week and a half.
If you watch the first 3, there's just no way you won't watch the rest of it and then be like, thank you. Then you'll just write us thank you cards.
Yeah. Okay.
Christian, why don't you throw up another one? Because I know you have a couple more on your list, whichever you want to choose.
Yeah. We talked about the rehearsal. That was on there. We got to go. I don't think we got to talk about Atlanta season 4.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, let's do it.
Let's talk about it. I'm 2 episodes in.
Okay.
I will be finishing. This was another one where, like, they didn't do a great job promoting that this fourth season was coming out.
Yeah.
So quickly.
So I didn't
realize
it. But I was like, we're recording tonight. I, like, texted my husband. I was like, listen, I got to watch the first couple episodes of Atlanta. I was like, I'll watch them again with you. But, like, I got, like, we keep saying we're going to watch it and we haven't watched it. I got to watch it. Because we're going to talk about it and I need to be into the conversation.
Yes, so. Please. I will try. So I know I can't spoil things, but I think I can speak about this show broadly enough. Right. I'm going to miss those motherfuckers so much.
Yeah.
That the finale, like, truly, I just, like, stared at the blank TV screen for a second and was just, like, silent. And I was like, oh, no, my friends are going away to a land I can't visit them in.
Quick question, because you mentioned the finale, and I don't think this will be a spoiler. And if it is, don't answer the question.
Sure.
Was it thick Judge Judy or no at the end?
I'm not going to answer that.
Oh.
I need brandy fresh. I'm not going to answer that.
Oh, I love it though.
We'll circle back.
Yeah.
I'm doing this for you, Brandon. Do this for you.
I appreciate it, you guys.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
I think, yeah, that's the theme of television this year for me, is I didn't know you could do this. Like, there are walls just broken down inside of a house I thought I was only, you know, supposed to be in one room for, and then I could peek over and see all these other people doing some shit I didn't know you could do, but we're all in the same house. I had no idea you could do what Donald Glover, his brother, Hugh Murray, Brian Tyree Henry, Lakeith Stanfield, and Zazie Beetz accomplished with this show. And also shout out Malia Obama, who's a writer on the show, which I just always laugh at.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Get out of town. I didn't know that.
Dead ass. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure she's a writer. I think she started as a writer's assistant. Yeah.
That's cool.
So that's fucking sick. Go Obamas. Why can't Black people have their Twilight, their comedic Twilight, like in terms of the show? Why can't we have our surrealist, open-ended, Twin Peaks-esque series dipped into modern day Blackness and imbued with all sorts of societal commentary and comedy? Why can't we have this delicious meal? And Donald was like, it was always here, man. I just had to show it to you. And I will forever be grateful to that show.
Oh, shit.
That was the best Popeyes I've ever had in my life.
It's good, right?
Yo, my God, yo.
Food tastes better when you think you're about to die.
Oh, my God, man. That shit is so true.
I was kind of scared, though.
Hey, D, where the fuck you get that car from, man?
I stole it.
This nigga. What do you mean?
What do you mean, man?
Stole it from the valet.
Yeah.
What?
Nigga, you had us in a stolen car.
Are you serious?
You're in trouble for that.
No, I'm not worried about getting in trouble. I'm still in the tank.
What?
Darius, no, you're not in the tank. You're really here, and we're really your friends.
Maybe it's just my dream, and you were just in it. Always have been.
There's one episode in particular. It was when they went camping, Dan.
Snipe hunt.
Snipe hunt.
Beautiful, gorgeous episode.
That episode made me pitch a certain thing to a certain somebody, like, right afterwards. And now we're, like, four meetings deep, and we're trying to develop it to pitch to execs.
Hell yeah.
And, I'm like, that's all because of one episode of a show I hungoverly watched, you know, that day. And, like, those pockets of inspiration are just sprinkled all throughout the season and the series. And, like, what a beautiful love letter of a show. And I love that they just didn't give a fuck about what we thought was conventional. There was no A to B. There's just A to infinity.
No, I mean, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I feel like that's one of the really amazing things about Atlanta, is that it's a Black show, I guess, in that, like, it's a Black creator, it's a Black cast, but, like, it's so weird. And you never know what you're going to get. And, like, I love them having the freedom to do that and just be like, you know what? This episode is just going to be this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're going to watch it, because it's good.
And you're going to watch it. It's like, guess what, guys? We're lost at Atlantic Station. Yes. We can't find the car. Yeah. And I don't know how we're going to get it back again. Goodbye.
You're gonna have to hit me up on DM after you watch. But that just a wonderful goodbye to that show. And I can't wait to see what it inspires. Like, I can't wait to see what's going to follow in its footsteps.
Christian, how many shows do you have left on your list?
I only have one.
One. Okay, so Brandy, why don't you go next?
All right, so my favorite show is a show that I literally got into a couple of weeks ago. And I'm so into it, guys. Who knew?
Yeah.
It's Wednesday on Netflix.
Oh!
I haven't gotten in yet.
Taking
Tell me
the
about
world
it.
By storm. I haven't seen much of it either.
What I love about it, it reminds me of mid to late 2000s CW. Giving.
Okay. Nice.
Okay.
Which I love. Like Vampire Diaries, Secret Circle. Like those, like, I love those shows.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, Tim Burton directed, I think, the first four episodes. You can tell.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a really fun show. Wednesday Addams is like a really weird and fun character. And it's a very conventional show, and that, like, it's kind of like a detective show, I guess, but, like, lots of plot, lots and lots and lots of plot.
Yeah, and we know you love that.
And we love, I love plot. I don't know, like, it's a super simple show, like, you just get it, And it's just really, really fun to watch.
Yo, Jenna Ortega, I like, she is like an instant, she's like a magnet, but this is her really making an entrance in a way. I don't know what's going on behind her eyes. Even in interviews, I'm like, what's Jenna Ortega thinking? And that in itself is captivating. So I can't wait to like dive into Wednesday. It's on your favorites, right? You said
it's on my favorites. It's just like, it's just so it's on my favorites because like, it just reminds me of shows that I loved watching growing up. Like I could see like 11-year-old Brandy would have been so into this show. Like I would have been taping it on the VCR. And not even because like I love like scary stuff or like weird stuff. It's just like, it's just fun. I mean, they're at boarding school. Like, I love boarding school stuff. Love a show set at a boarding school. Love a movie set at a boarding school. Like, I love it.
That's awesome.
I love the Addams Family movies from like the 90s. Christina Ricci is also in this. Oh. She's a teacher.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's sick.
What a year for Christina Ricci.
Yeah, Christina Ricci balling. Is doing it. And you know what? What's so funny is that the character that she's playing in this is like very reminiscent of Misty.
Oh, really? Just tapped right back in. I love that.
Because you're wait, there's something weird with her. Why is she so happy?
We need that crossover episode between Wednesday and Yellow Jackets.
Absolutely. All right, so I'll go next with my last entry here. Hey, Brandy, this won't be a surprise to you. I've talked about it all year long. My last favorite show is Industry, season 2.
Oh, yeah, you did love Industry. Oh,
why didn't I put that on my shit? I'm an idiot. I'm a fool. Why is that not in the list? Oh, wow. Well done. That's my bad. Dang. Good for you. I should have put that on here somewhere.
I fucking love that show.
Yeah, me too.
It reminds me of like first couple years in the city, working as a page, being out all hours of the night, working SNL, going to the after party, staying up until 8 a.m., you know, maybe an illicit substance or two, you know, drops in here or there, mm-hmm. and you're just, you're young and you think you know everything. You absolutely do not, but that's how you act anyway. And the vibes, the show is, I think season one came heavy with the vibes and season two is like just adding, like the foundation was built and now we have some structures going up and it's a beautiful looking city and I can't wait for them to build more buildings. You know what I mean? It looks great. It sounds great. The music is incredible. It's a show set in the world of finance and I don't understand a goddamn thing they're talking about. Doesn't even matter. They make you feel the way you should feel. It feels
the stakes are very evident. Regardless.
Exactly. Someone is going to absolutely lose their lunch in the worst way if this thing happens, and then it either does or it doesn't, and then the fallout happens and it's soapy, it's sexy. I often describe it as sex, drugs, and stock trades. And it's fucking rock and roll, man. I love it. It's so good.
It is rock and roll. Again, I'm so mad I didn't have it on my list. I love that show.
Hi, Harper. It's Jesse Bloom.
Hi, Jesse.
Sick of commenting on the direction of the wind. Shall we make it blow?
I don't follow.
Let's find out how essential you are. What have you learned about our friend Anna and her interests?
Anna isn't in the book yet, but she is buying at the open.
Okay. How much stock does your trader have now and where is it?
How much do you have and what's the offer?
Harper?
If you click me out of a phone call while executing,
you will never hear from me again.
I'm stuck with 50 million. The last trade price was 45. I can sell you all 50 million at that price.
All right. Tell him I know his order book is fucked and the market opens in 30 seconds.
I will take 50 million at 44, not 45.
He's running you over.
Rishi, he's 44 bit.
44? Is he mad? This is the best name in the sector. It's already at a discount. My price is 45.
Tell him if he likes it so much, he can fucking keep it.
He says if you like it so much, then you can keep it.
Fucking keep it, I said.
He says if you like it so much, then you can fucking keep it.
Can I have all 50 million at 44 and 3/4? That's my final offer.
How about this?
I'll buy 75 million, not 50. 75 million at 44 and a half.
75 million at 44 and a half.
75? I've only got 50. This will take me short. No, fuck that.
Okay, Jesse, how about this? Why don't we do 50 now, and we'll leave a working order for 25 more after the open.
We're going to try it out.
Yeah. Oh, you
have to.
Oh,
have
Brandy.
To,
got
Brandy.
It. Got to. Oh, man. Woo! I wish I was you. I just watch it for the first time again.
Hell yeah.
Just like, so that first season, it kind of dropped quietly.
Yep.
And I remember just like, I was like, I'll go to war for this show. People need to know about this. I might as well have been handing out pamphlets.
Same, dude. I was its biggest promoter.
I was in the same city doing the same shit, man. We were doing the same shit. My Ahala is great. the performances by all these unknowns are pretty fantastic.
Yes, absolutely.
It's just a reminder that talent is everywhere, and like a lot of people are fucking good at stuff.
Absolutely.
And if you just put them in the right tank of water, they're gonna swim. So like, oh, incredible! I love industry. Brandy, get on that, please. Okay.
All right, Christian, what's your last favorite show?
My last favorite show is The Righteous Gemstones. I love this show so much.
Wow.
That's such a great pick, especially for favorite. Such a good show. Yeah.
This didn't make my top 20. I don't know why, but it didn't.
I know. I feel like, Dan, you were like, you love Righteous Gemstones.
I think it's because it was just so long ago. It just.
And the way it wasn't that long ago, it came out this year.
Right. I know. That's the thing. Talk to us about Gemstones, man.
Yeah.
What a treat. What a treat. Yeah. What a weird, wacky show. I love Danny McBride being able to be like, hey, HBO, suck my dick. I'm going to make whatever I want. We will suck your dick, Mr.
Yes,
McBride.
Sir.
Yeah. Like, I love it so much. I love the cast. I love Goodman. I love Danny. I love Adam Devine in there. Mm-hmm. I love all these unknowns and sprinkled. Who plays the sister, Dan? Please remind me.
Oh, gosh.
Judy.
I don't remember her name. This is a theme of the episode.
Yeah, yeah. Let's.
But
let's
Judy is great. Yeah.
Yeah. She might be the funniest character on the show. I love this world of mega churches.
Edie Patterson.
Oh, God bless her.
Yeah.
An Emmy. So throw an Emmy at her too while you got it. I love this commentary on this mega church world that I did not grow up in. I grew up Catholic, which is, you know, that'd be a funny spinoff if the Catholics met like the Gemstones in some like convention. Yeah. I love how it's goofy but takes itself so seriously. Like, it's incredibly well made. They're like, it's airtight production shot wise. All their fight scenes that are choreographed are just like top notch, like should be in a movie type stuff. Did you guys both watch?
Yes.
Oh my god. So my favorite episode is the motorcycle chase episode. Mm-hmm. The climax of the episode starts with, like, to end that episode on that and start it with just a puke gag. like a disgusting, like, like hilarious puke gag, and to end it on like one of the most brilliantly choreographed like fight motorcycle chases I've seen on TV this year. It just speaks to the ceiling and the floor of this show. It could go anywhere at any moment. I love hanging, but speaking of hanging out with, like, I hate these people, but I love them too.
Yep.
and it's just like, you know, like family. you hate your family, but you love them too. They really feel like some family. And I love how much they all hate each other, but they love each other as well. Like, I just love that dynamic. I love the goofy, like, if Succession was wearing like clown pants.
I was just going to say it's goofy Succession. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking love that show. Yeah, that rounds out my list.
Okay. I love it.
Yeah.
Brandy, last entry here. What's your last favorite show?
Yeah. So my last favorite show is Fleischman's in Trouble.
I just watched the latest episode today.
I am on, I think, episode 5 or 6.
Okay. It's getting to the meat.
Guys, I love the show. And let me tell you why.
What's the premise? I haven't seen a minute.
The premise is...
You love it, Dan.
Yeah.
It's about this guy, Toby Fleischman. He and his wife were married for, I think, 15 years. And they just got a divorce. They've got 2 kids. He's a doctor. They live on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And, like, they're very rich. She is a talent agent and just, like, really hardcore. She's played by Claire Danes.
I love that.
Mark Zuckerberg. Don't know his name.
Eisenberg.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah. Like, Mark Zuckerberg plays Toby Fleischman.
Like, Zuckerberg could do it all, man. Damn.
His two best friends are Lizzie Kaplan.
Forever crush. Forever in love with her.
And Seth from the OC.
Yeah, Adam Brody.
Oh,
Adam
shit. Brody. Okay, right on. I like it.
Isn't that a crazy cast?
That's a great lineup. That's a wild lineup.
That casting director is wild, and it works. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. And then, Claire Danes is the wife, is Rachel. But what I love about it is, I love movies that are set in New York City and are about rich-ass families. Listen, I recognize why, like, I don't need to watch Woody Allen movies anymore, but, like, love it. love where Woody Allen movies are. Like, everyone says I love you. It's like one of my all-time favorite movies that I can never talk about. Because, like, we don't talk about Woody Allen anymore. And it's like, it's not really that good. It's a pretty terrible musical, but, like, I love it.
Yeah.
And I just love being on, like, the Upper East Side, the Upper West Side of New York, in these worlds that, like, I'm kind of tangential to now as, like, an executive. My kids go to, like, nice schools. You know what I mean? It's like, I could be there, except, like, I'm not sending my kid. My kids are going to public school once they're in kindergarten. But,
right,
like I said, I love it when a world feels kind of small. Their whole, like, courtship was, like, really built on, like, he loves to walk. And she also loved to walk. So they take all these long walks around the city. And I was
cute.
Like, I love doing that too. I love it.
I'm all caught up and I just don't want to spoil anything. But yeah. I just want to add that this show gives me so much anxiety in a way I didn't know I could have.
Christian, are you talking like dating app anxiety? Because I like that sort of stuff, yeah. Or because I know that vibe.
It's more look into what I might be if I'm not careful. Okay. It's like a funhouse mirror of the future. If I like this man is it, how do I explain this? they both just think they're doing the right thing and it turns mm-hmm. out to be just the wrong thing.
Okay.
But they're so blinded by ambition and like their track that it almost becomes tunnel vision-esque, like their exploits, in a way that puts like a nuclear bomb at the center of their family. But it's wonderfully done. It's well acted. I'm trying to see how the plane lands to put it in any sort of list I have. This last episode was all about Claire Danes, Brandy. Okay. So,
oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, I think I was like, I feel like we're going there. Like, we need to see it from her direction. This is my first time watching a show like this from the perspective of being a married mother of two.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Okay. So it's like they're like me, but they're not like.
Sure.
But like, I'm terrified that I could be like that.
Yeah. It's like the not the multiverse, but the Brandyverse, the Christianverse. Yeah. Like, what?
No,
what?
Like, you like can't, like, it is the funhouse mirror of just like, oh God. Like,
yeah.
It's just like, I would never react like that. Would I?
Yeah, exactly. Dan, definitely get on that.
Yeah. It's on Hulu.
I'll get on it. Let's do a quick roundup. Brandy, why don't you run through your top 10, starting with your Almost shows, and then we'll just kind of go around the horn, and then we'll do our quick little lightning round to send us off.
Yeah, so my Almost shows were A League of Their Own, Dead to Me Season 3, Love is Blind Season 3, and Rap Shit. My three best were The Rehearsal, Severance, and The Bear. And my three favorites are Wednesday, Fleischman's in Trouble, and White Lotus Season 2.
Really good.
Love that list. Love that list. My Almost shows for 2022 were Stranger Things Season 4, Reservation Dogs Season 2, Bad Sisters, and Atlanta Season 4. My best shows were Better Call Saul, the final season, Season 6, The Bear, and The White Lotus Season 2. And my favorite shows of the year were Severance, Industry Season 2, and Andor, baby.
Man, we all got such good taste. I'm proud of us. my Almost shows were The Bear, Reservation Dogs Season 2, We Own This City, and Hack Season 2. My best shows were The White Lotus, Better Call Saul, the final season, and Andor was also part of my best list. My favorites were The Rehearsal with Nathan Fielder, the final season of Atlanta Season 4, and Righteous Gemstones Season 2.
I love it. Real quick, any honorable mentions that didn't crack the 10? I know I have a couple that I'm like, we didn't mention Barry Season 3. Excellent. We didn't mention The Boys season three.
So good.
The Boys Season 3. Christian, were you on The Boys?
Part of my, what was it? My Almost, I had The Hacks / The Boys. And it was literally a game time decision.
Oh, wow. Pick. Right on. Yeah. That was the one.
Yeah. I need my man Homelander to get a trophy too.
Dude, he's so good.
I hate the Academy, man, because dude, it's like, yeah, they fucking suck. Like, why aren't you actually watching these performances, you assholes? And furthermore, why do, by virtue of you not watching, why do we care so much about these trophies? Like, what the fuck?
Exactly. Yeah. Let's see. Survivor. This year in Survivor, seasons 42 and 43, I fucking loved. A couple other quick. The Dropout was great. Welcome to Wrexham was great. For All Mankind, season 3 was great. Rings of Power, I liked a lot. House of
I liked Rings of Power more than House of the Dragon.
Me too.
Yeah. House of the Dragon. I'm not putting that on any of my lists, House of the Dragon.
Go ahead. No, me neither.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Anything else you guys want to name check quick?
I Love That For You.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's a great show.
I really enjoyed.
I Love That For You. It was great.
Obviously, like My Housewives.
Sure. Yeah.
Potomac, Salt Lake.
Christian, any others?
Yeah, I just pulled out the list right here. Winning Time on HBO.
Oh, didn't catch awesome. That. It was good.
Yeah, it was great. I'm a huge Celtics fan. So like watching this cartoon, but stylistically and historically kind of inaccurate, like playground of how the Lakers came to be the powerhouse that they are. And the cast is to die for. It's nice. Fucking good. If you guys want just like a good show with stakes, but it's also lit, like that's a great show. Oh, I loved, this is kind of random given, I don't know if I've developed an aesthetic on your podcast, but I loved Under the Banner of Heaven with Andrew Garfield.
Oh, I didn't see that. Andrew Garfield's Mormon murder thing.
Yeah, he's a Mormon detective trying to solve just a very strict sect of Mormonism and the murders tied to this particular sect. And yeah, I just, Mormonism stuff, I'm fascinated by the way they do their thing.
Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Oh, where?
I spent like two months in Salt Lake City in Utah. Brandy and I worked together at the time casting a show called Mormon Love, which is probably still available on Facebook Watch if you seek it out.
God, that sounds familiar.
Mormon teenagers. The network wanted Laguna Beach, but Mormon. That was a tough thing to cast. So I was there for a while.
Yeah, man. What you mean?
We end every episode with a lightning round. We're going to end the season with a lightning round. And for this, we're going to do... We just had a wonderful, incredible, wide-ranging discussion about TV. So let's not talk about TV for a minute. What were the best things you saw, best things you watched in 2022 outside of the TV scope?
I'll go. I have one question. One of these things isn't on TV.
I the beholder for this
okay.
one. Yeah, this is
cool.
No rules here. Like, what if you? Yeah, if none you, of if mine you experienced are on TV. It. If you witnessed it somewhere, I think it counts. If it's an entertainment, I think it counts.
Sure. I'll start. So I recently got Marvel Unlimited. It's basically you pay like a certain fee and you have the vast library of Marvel comics at your fingertips.
Cool.
It's probably my favorite subscription service, to be honest. I just didn't even know where to start, but I remember I read a couple issues of X-Men House of X back in the day, like a couple years ago. I was like, let me pick that back up. And essentially what it is, it's picture a world in which Charles Xavier and Magneto come together to form their own nation.
Whoa.
Called Krakoa. And it's only mutants that live there.
Okay.
And the whole dynamic is how they, you know, progress their nation and the culture within the nation, how they interact with the rest of the real world. Like they're invited to the UN at one point and they had to, I won't give anything away, but there's an assassination attempt.
Okay.
The changes between Charles and Magneto's, like they were mortal enemies and now they're like working hand in hand together to, you know, further mutantdom. Jean Grey, Cyclops, and Wolverine are in like a throuple situation. Like,
okay.
It's such a wild, lovely comic.
Would this be in a best, a favorite, or forever? Because that's kind of how we'll structure this lightning round. You have three things. Okay. What's a best, what's a favorite, and what's a, if you had to watch, read, ingest, experience one thing every day for the next year, what would that be?
This is a favorite.
That's a favorite.
For sure.
Nice.
X-Men's a favorite. But I'm glad you gave me that note. The other, let's see, so best favorite forever, the best not TV thing I saw this year was Gerard Carmichael's comedy special with Nathaniel.
Dude, I put in my best as well.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
the best comedy special I've seen all fucking
so
year.
Yeah,
holy yeah. shit, man, especially as someone who recently came out in his mid-30s, like, dude, relatable, man.
Oh, yeah.
It was very
okay,
good.
Great. Yo, so that hit for you too.
Yeah, that
I
hit.
Love to hear.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Damn, so that must have really shook you. Yeah. I was floored. I was floored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then to hear that he did that same performance four times in a row.
Right.
Still seems off the cuff. Yeah.
Dude, yeah.
He's a true master. He's generational. I felt like his family member by the end. I just wanted to give the dude a hug. Mm-hmm. I love his interplay with the audience. Like the audience is, it's not just audience play. It's like, he's doing the special with the audience as a co-comic in a way.
Yeah.
In a way that, because usually comics, when they do audience involvement, it's just them dunking on the audience members.
Right. It's not hecklers. It's conversations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's conversations and him organically reacting and then giving him tough love. Like it felt, I don't know. It felt like a family reunion with a family I've never met before. and that's the best way I can put it. So I believe that is my, what I say, best? Nathaniel by Gerard Carmichael is the best.
Nice.
And my forever slash favorite, I guess, my forever, sorry, is the Boston Celtics.
The 2022 Boston Celtics?
The 2022, 2023, 2021 Boston Celtics. They are my favorite sports team. They've had like a Herculean narrative in terms of being like the worst with the young talent to reaching the NBA finals in a year no one thought they would, to having their coach being fired in the offseason for sexual misconduct, to having an interim new coach, Joe Mazzulla, at age 34, who has this enormous task of getting these guys to the promised land in a franchise that is as heralded as the Boston Celtics, even though they haven't won since 2008. And I don't miss the Celtics game. Like, I schedule my romantic life around Celtics games.
I follow you on Instagram. I'm aware of the fandom. Yeah. I'm aware of the fandom. I love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like, it's probably not healthy, but I don't care. Because I feel like I'm watching, like, a TV show come to life in such an amazing way. And I really hope they win it this year. And I will, if I ever have kids, they will be Celtics fans.
I love it. Yeah. That's a great lightning round. Brandy, what are your quick best, favorite, and forever non-TV?
My best is Kate, which is Kate Berlant's show.
Oh, you went and saw that?
I saw it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Amazing. I saw it live. So good. It is absolutely amazing. You know, if you've seen her special, I think it's on Hulu, Cinnamon in the Wind. It kind of gives you an idea of what the show is like. But like, she's just an amazing talent. And it was so funny because I saw this like kind of, I think I just finished A League of Their Own.
I was going to say, speaking of.
The character that she is in A League of Their Own is just like, she's acting.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not
who she is. Yeah.
And this show is just like, it was, you know, so it's off Broadway. It's on like in the East Village on East 4th Street, very small theater. It's so nuts. Like, you walk in and she's just sitting on a bench. And you can go up and like walking. Take a picture with her, and, like, and then there's all these like life-size photos of her that like you can go and take your picture with. Like, it's the kind of thing that you should really go with someone. Like, I went by myself because like my new thing is like, if I want to go see a show, I'm just gonna go see it. I'm not waiting for people.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so I just went to see it, and I was just like, it felt weird like taking a selfie with. Because, like, they're life-size, so it looks like, it should look like you're standing there with her.
That's funny.
But, like, just the whole show, and this isn't really giving, like, too much away, because how she gets here is insane, but the whole show is about her having to cry on cue.
Oh, wow.
Because
wow.
she, like, that's a big issue that she has, like, that she's going to have to be able to do that, and, like, the way that she gets there is just, it's so incredibly entertaining.
That's cool.
It was just so well done. It's directed by Bo Burnham, who is just a genius.
Also directed Nathaniel as well, did he not?
Yeah. Bo, we could do his own podcast. I have nothing but love for him.
So that was my best. My favorite from this year is this book called I'm Glad My Mom Died.
Yeah.
And it's by Jeanette McCurdy. She was a child star, and like, this book is just such an unflinching look at what it is to be like a working actor, a working child actor that like didn't ask for this. Mm-hmm. And like, her mom is just like such a terrible person.
Oh, I got 10 pages in and I was like, I need to be in a better headspace before I read the rest of this. So it's like in my room, just staring at me. I'm just waiting till I'm a happier man. So I mean,
what an imposing title. I mean, like.
But you really start to get it. And it's just like, I mean, it made me like so grateful for my own mother.
That's nice.
Like, and that, like, it was just like, okay. But also, like, as a mom now, it's like, okay, like, this is a great roadmap of what not to do.
Yeah.
My forever, it's Taylor Swift, Midnight. Can't stop listening to it. Don't love her. Can't stop listening to this album. I love it so much.
That's amazing.
The end. I love it. My quick list, we talked about my best Nathaniel, best comedy special I've seen in a very, very long time. Absolutely loved it. And I got to get a couple films in here. I spent a lot of time with the movies this year. And that was my kind of like solo thing. If I want to go see a movie, I'm not going to wait. Although a good friend of mine, Andre, shout out Andre, we saw a bunch of movies together, but tons of movies this year. And the two that really popped out for me, my favorite movie going experience was Everything Everywhere All at Once. Wow. Blew me away.
Lovely. Fucking
absolutely
awesome,
blew me away. Went back 2 days later and saw it again. Absolutely hell fucking
yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. I love it too.
And then in my forever, if I could watch a movie every day for the next year, it'd be Top Gun Maverick, baby. Let's go.
Oh my God. Get your white ass out of here.
Dude, I don't care, man. I don't care. I don't care.
I've never seen so many white men go, this is my fight song for a movie. y'all were pumped. I watched it, by the way.
Yeah. But like,
I loved it. I liked it.
The twist that we do with the forever is if you could, you watch it every time like it's the first time. And when I watched that movie for the first time, it just absolutely like just adrenaline, like literal jet fuel in the veins. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it was a thrilling experience. If I'm like, yo, you get to, you know, Men in Black Mind Wiper and watch this every day for the next year, I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm in. Absolutely. Sounds like a blast.
Amazing.
And with that, that's a wrap on this episode. Christian, thank you for hanging out with us late into the night, a couple days before the holidays. Really appreciate it. This is an absolute blast.
Thank you so
absolute
much.
Blast.
It's just nice to talk TV with people who love it as much as I do. So it was my pleasure.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. And I hope we hang in. I'm always open to come back. This is a fun thing. Keep it up, yo.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep up with us in the off season. You can follow us at TVBFF Podcast on Instagram. You can email us at TVBFFpodcast@gmail.com. Send us your six.
Yeah, send us your six.
Send us your criteria. Send us anything you want us to cover in the next season, next year. We'll absolutely check that out. And until next time, and until next season, bye, friends.
Bye, friends.